G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. Today on the show we talk Vexit, Matty Rowe, Brisbane the Premiership favourites and the WA Rolling Hub. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. Leave us a rating, leave us a review. All right, get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Ring, joined by Xavier Ellis. How you going, mate?
Going well, mate. Sitting at home, actually, watching Fox Cricket, and there's, I reckon, a 1985 game of cricket, something around that era, Pakistan v Australia.
Oh, very nice, mate. This is COVID times. You're coming to us live from the Time for a Beer headquarters, is that right?
Yeah, sitting in my living room. Usually when I do It's Time for a Beer, I sit in the bar just to sort of ground myself. The hippies go to the beach and ground themselves and find themselves in their environment. So that's what I like to do. When I'm doing like a podcast around having beers, I like to really lodge myself amongst a lot of beers.
Empties.
Just really make myself feel at home.
Yeah, good, man. Good. Good. So this is the first time we've been trying to do this early in the week podcast. It will be a regular thing. We're just taking us 3 weeks to work out the best time to do it. Busy lives these days, you know?
Hey, what was that?
Busy times these days.
Oh, mate, people getting stood down, pay cuts, bloody childcare issues. It's become a pain in the ass. So this might be our little time slot if you work quite late into the evening. So if it's flexible for you, I'm more than happy to jump on this time on a Monday.
I do, mate, and I think just getting a little bit jealous of you, I need to stock up the beer fridge at work, which I'm yet to do.
For those listening, it's 2:30 in the morning, Perth time.
Really work late, you know, real hard worker. So today we saw, we're recording this late on a Monday, we saw something really remarkable, which, you know, you could never have predicted would happen. We could have said that about heaps of things this year, but every Victorian club has left Victoria.
Oh, I don't know. It's been that row about, and talk about row, we'll get onto him later, but, players taking their families v players staying at home v, oh, I'm a macho man. Let's just go play footy and not care about our family. Yeah. I mean, it's become quite. I've found it quite ridiculous. If you want to, and don't give me the argument about, well, what about the Australian cricket team? It's a completely different sport. You sign up to be an international cricketer.
Yeah.
When you sign your contract at Hawthorn, West Coast, whatever club you're at, you don't sign up to going away for 6 weeks on end, and potentially much longer now for the Victorians. You sign up to playing away from home, literally for 3 days. And for 100 years, it's been for 3 days.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you do your little round trip interstate. Whereas, like, the players have forgone money, they've forgone their family, they've given up a whole lot. I think they get a lot of criticism for no real reason, to be honest. And maybe I am a campaigner for the footballers, but I just find it quite harsh that, you know, Why do you need your family? What do you mean these Richmond players are staying at home to be with their child that's one day old? And someone on Twitter tweeted to me before saying, it's not even his first kid. I was like, do you know what I mean? Like, if any other business, and I tweeted something, any other business, someone tells me, or my colleagues at work these days say, they're going on paternity leave or parental leave for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. I'm generally really happy for them.
Yeah.
And society's like, well, do they get paid? Why do they get paid? What are they getting paid for? Who knows if they're getting paid or not? That hasn't been spoken about. That hasn't been made public knowledge.
No.
And I feel as though that they're getting half paid anyway. So they're not even getting their original contracts. And people are so confused by, well, they're not playing, but they don't get their match payments. Bashir Hooley and Titch Edwards wouldn't have match payments in their contracts.
Yeah,
so
they're not at that stage of their career, are they?
And the guy who jumped on and was giving me a bit of grief as well had a picture of Conor McKenna with an Irish flag in the background. Conor McKenna went home in pre-season and didn't come back, remember?
Yeah. It was a question about whether he was going to come back at all.
He wouldn't have been a match payment player either. So his contract would have been split evenly over 12 months. Did he get paid for that month he was missing?
People are going crazy about it, but it's not as if these two players are stopping the season. So there's a handful of players who aren't going. On the other hand, I think Richmond did it as well. Melbourne definitely did it. They left 10, 12 blocks there anyway because they don't think they're good enough, which I think is crazy. Like, on a separate note, I think that's crazy. Like, How do you know that some kid's not going to star in three scratches and fill a need for you if you lose three small forwards?
I think it stems from, the prototype was Port Adelaide. You look at the teams that are in hubs currently, and Port Adelaide opted not to take everyone and everyone else opted to take everyone. And I think that they've been the most successful, obviously, apart from the weekend where they were beaten pretty comfortably by Brisbane.
Mm.
I think they've sort of painted the picture of how the hub should work and they left players behind. So I reckon that sort of set up people.
The difference there, though, is they could still get those guys out if they needed them, South Australia. Like, there wasn't that same level of quarantine needed because of the deal they did with the Queensland government.
They still have done the 14 days, though?
No, they wouldn't have to because they got cleared to come into Queensland without the 14 days and SA opened their borders so they could come back and forth. There was a question at the start of it whether Port were going to stay there at all or just fly home.
Yeah.
So
why did Adelaide fly home today?
Because they could. I think that was it.
They're going to get back on a plane on Friday and fly to Brisbane? Where are they playing this week?
They're playing against West Coast.
At the Gabba?
At the Gabba, yeah. So they just flew home because they could. They're now treating it like it's a regular season
back-to-back
round.
Okay.
Yeah, just so you go home and get a couple of days at home. Why wouldn't you if you could? But that's the difference.
I agree with it, but then I find it strange that West Coast didn't do it as well. Yeah, you know I mean, like, well, I know it's a long flight.
Yeah, and they would have had to isolate at home. Yeah.
Then do they have to do the 14 if they can leave again? It's just confusing, but it's good to see Adelaide get out of there. I mean, even when Adelaide are playing shithouse, the pressure's not on them about playing ordinary football. It's still that bloody camp.
Yeah, that camp, and more came out of the weekend. How would you feel if you're Nick's and you come up? He's like, oh, no, I wasn't here, mate. I just don't know.
Oh,
sounds shit.
No, I think that he's bought himself some time more than anything because they're hopeless. They are so hopeless.
Oh, they're bad.
But I reckon he's bought himself time because while they're still going over, the camp, which is incredibly irresponsible to be mentally tormenting and torturing players who have divulged secrets or things in their life that they didn't want people to know is incredibly bad. And they all deserve to fall on their swords. But that's got nothing to do with how bad they are now.
No, that's – saw them lose some players, but the actual, what they're doing on the park.
Yeah, you take the players who left the club out, so that's obviously made them worse. But in terms of actually what we're seeing on a Saturday in 2020, they just don't have a good football team.
No, and I think it's telling. I saw some quotes from Justin Longmuir today. I think I was taking a bit of liberties here, but it was along the lines of, we've played a lot better football in all the games we've lost than we did in that game and we won.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that just shows where Adelaide's at.
I think the West put up a story or being beamed into America? Where did I read that article about?
Yeah, so there was in there. It just so happened that it was on primetime in the States on Fox Sports 1 or something like that.
You don't reckon Gil McLaughlin a quarter time was like, get it down, pull the link. Off.
COVID, someone's got COVID on the field. Not a great advertisement.
Yeah, it was a bad game. Adelaide probably played better, not better football. They both played horrible football, but they probably should have been in front.
Just kept missing. And just,
Well, they went 0-6 or 0-7, whatever it was. But sodas, like stuff that, West Coast Cowan, an amateur football club, you'd expect to kick off.
Go
0-6 or 7 or whatever it was is diabolical.
So they're going to be down for a while on what we're seeing at the moment. Are they going to try? Well, we've spoken before. They try and cash out a couple of players and get where they can and just reload. Try to get rid of everybody who has any connection to the camp and just go again.
Get rid of anyone that was on that camp or
read the story.
About the camp, just get out.
You're not welcome.
I think Brad Crouch won't be there next year.
Yeah, it's suggestions that he was his last year of his deal. He's a free agent. I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Crouch wasn't there.
Yep.
More so, he's been dropped this year.
Yeah.
Matt Crouch is a good player. He'd be a good player in he'd get a game in any top eight side. So what can you get from Matt Crouch if his brother goes as well? Brad, who was looking to get out at the start of this season. So I reckon them two are probably gone, but they just need as much high-end draft picks as they possibly can and sit and slow burn it for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that sounds about – but yeah – it's weird because you wouldn't have thought that about a club like Adelaide. Adelaide to South Australia what West Coast are to WA. Like, did this big, they're the first one in, they've won flags. They're meant to be the big dogs.
Yeah, of course. Don't forget West Coast, was it 2010, was it? You know, they've got a reasonable amount of high-end draft picks in their team in terms of Nick Nat, Gaffey.
Yeah, Dom Sheed. The first rounder still.
Hey?
Shuey's the first rounder. He was in the teens, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, sorry, but I mean after their successes.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, like Nick Nat, Gaff, Duggan's first rounder, like a high-ender.
They've got a lot of kids around that. They picked, like, 10 to 14 kind of range.
Yeah, yeah, but even, yeah, Dommy was a top 10,
he was pick 11.
Was he pick 11? Well, yeah, pick 11. Duggo was maybe 10 then. Yeah, yeah, so, but I don't know. Adelaide haven't had that top end either for a long time, so maybe they do just fall on their swords and look to the future and see if they can land a couple of King brothers or something. You know, like,
yeah,
hopefully
yeah,
they, when their draft comes and their time's available to select, they do have that opportunity to grab someone high up that is actually a team changer, I suppose, like we see with Raoul and the King boys.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about Jack Lukosius when he first got drafted, that he was just going to go back to Adelaide. Like, I don't think you're sitting up on the Gold Coast now going, geez, I want to go back to the Crows.
Yeah, but even like Port Adelaide, you go to Port Adelaide, they're going pretty well, obviously. But there's going to be a time where their top five fall off the perch too.
Yep.
They're
getting a lot of production out Hartlett, of Boak and those guys.
Yeah, Hartlett, Boak, Rockliff, Ebert, Westhoff. I mean, they've got a hot, like, they've got an aging list at the top. So once they all fall off their perch, they're going to be sort of back amongst it as well.
Yeah. Well, let's switch over. So we talked about those guys leaving, the guys left behind. Do you expect, I mean, there's no real end date. We've only got a couple of more rounds actually fixtured. Like, how do you think these guys are feeling sitting in there in New South Wales and Queensland? So delay, a crash on the Queensland freeway apparently today too. Fair delay getting from Brisbane Airport down to the Gold Coast, just to compound the worries.
Oh, mate, the 30 days, I think if you knew it was 30 days, you'd just bite the bullet and go, okay. So for me now, with, say, I was playing personally, with Ted, who's one, he's fine. M's 20 weeks pregnant. I'd be fine to go. No dramas, off I go. You just make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
But then when it starts to go, okay, maybe it ends a bit beyond 20 weeks. But then when you start rolling to the 30 weeks pregnant or whatever, that's where you say, no, I'm not real keen on this, you know, no end date sort of stuff. So I reckon at the moment that'd be fine. But just the uncertainty of when there's an end date for the Victorian clubs, I reckon that would be the great concern. And think about the best players in most teams. Most of them have kids. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can deal with it for a couple of weeks, no dramas. But then when you lose a game, often they're the great sort of leveler for you. You lose or you get smashed and things aren't going great for you, and then you've got a dirty nappy to go clean when you get home. You've got no idea how well you played or how badly you played. So I reckon for the older end blokes who are generally the best players in the competition, it'll be interesting to see how they go come, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks, and if it extends beyond that, see how their interest sort of stems. But
yeah.
There's talk of a bye coming in. Now, I don't know what a bye would do in terms of getting home with restrictions.
Oh,
and
you
sort
couldn't
of stuff
get in and out of Victoria in that time at the moment. I think everybody would stop you. You'd need to have a 3 week bye where you go home and then you still got to do 2 weeks.
Bye. There's no point. So
although you can play each other in isolation.
But if I was a Victorian club, I'd just say plough on and plough on in short returns.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to be there for 10 weeks, let's do it in 6.
Yeah. Try and get back.
Or 7, or whatever you can.
Monitor the situation and try and get back. Moving on to the most flattening news of the weekend, obviously. Matty Raoul doing his shoulder. It popped out. Now, this is a bit, it's one of those areas where, like, something in my brain goes back and you think, like, you can just pop that back in, right? But obviously you can't. It comes out, it does a bit of damage on the way out. Sun's got it scanned, said it was dislocated. I think that was obvious to everybody. They're going to take their time to figure out how they go about it and how he rebounds. You ever had shoulder stuff?
Yeah, I've still got I think, 5 screws in my right shoulder.
Yeah, right.
And I was only telling someone the other day, I don't know whether West Coast would be able to take those screws out.
Is it still?
It was like the forgotten wing. I just packed up and left, and now I'm like, I can't get my arm above my head too well. Those screws should have came out about 4 years ago. But in terms of the shoulders, you don't want them as a kid, but it's a good time to have them as a kid, if that makes sense, on the Gold Coast. They're not winning the flag.
Yeah.
There's no risk of him doing any more significant damage because you're just not going to put him out there if there is a chance. So for mine, I'm wrapping it up straight away. I'm getting him. I'm getting that tightened. I'm getting the surgery. So say it falls out again. Remember Ty Canelli? Popping shoulders. Waters popping shoulders. That they can just keep going on you and they can cause massive dramas throughout your career. So you've got a first-year player who could arguably be, the best player in the competition in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, what is the point of not just saying, a little bit like a Joel Embiid, just tap it out and just say, Ben Simmons' first year, I'm sure he could have come back and played. But why would you? What is the point? They're not going to win the premiership. You know what you've now got. Let's fix him up properly. And I'm sure there's parts of his game aerobically or whatever he could possibly work on. And it's not what you want to hear as a football fan. Like, you want to see Matt Rowe play.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's been like this oasis. Like, there's been so much average footy being played this year. But every time you turned on the Suns game, you knew Matt Rowe was going to chop it up in the middle and they're going to run and gun and it was going to be good. So it's more of a footy fan thing. You just want it. You'd like pray that he can still play.
Do you remember when Gary Ablett missed a long period of time with his shoulder?
That was on the coast too, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was not taking any inflams because I don't think he saw into him or whatever. Yeah. But, like, for so long, you're like, oh, guys, jeez, hurry up. Then you forget about those times, though, when he's back playing his very best football, when his shoulder's as good as gold. So it's almost like you just got to forget about it. Forget Park Matt Rowe and just pretend it never happened until it returns properly. Like, you just don't want to see the kid come out there and not play like a bull because he's frightened
that
potentially he might ping his shoulder because then he won't be the player that we all want to see. But again, he's 18. We want to see this kid being at the age of 24, having won a Brownlow and all that sort of stuff. So for mine, I'd just be straight. And I don't know what the shoulder scan says. I don't think anyone does. But if it does show that, we could be tightened up with a bit of help, I wouldn't even think twice about it. And they often are a little bit slow to react on an 18-year-old because you don't want to put kids in surgery if you can avoid it. But there's no point getting this kid back. So if they say it can heal if he has 15 weeks off naturally, just do it. Like, don't even consider playing him while there's a chance of it popping out again.
Yeah, and that's the thing you forget this season too. Like, there's only 12 games left in the regular season. It's not like, it feels like we're real young in it, but there's not that many games.
How many games do you need to play to be NAB Rising Star?
Yeah, I don't know. Who else would be in the mix? I mean, the other guys,
Is there a King available?
Oh, Max King can still get done, yeah. He can still get nominated. Yeah. I think Ben might have got it last year.
Young's been good.
Hayden Young's been good, but I don't know he's been at that level yet, has he?
Oh, geez, he was good again. No, not at that level. Not at that level, no.
But I don't think anybody in that mix has been at that level besides...
No, but then who won the NAB Rising Star last year?
That is a very good question.
Well, the year before
Sam Walsh. Sam Walsh won it last year.
Sam Walsh won it last year. Stevenson the year before.
Yeah. It's not a hot field.
No, it's not. And I think this might not be the hot underfield, but potentially it could be because Green was a good player last week. He was nominated.
Oh, Green. That's probably all. If he starts to play like he did that day, then he should run it in.
But the thing is, if Matt Rowe doesn't play again this year, he's eligible again next year.
That's
you don't
true.
Reckon you don't reckon you'd be piling everything into Matt Rowe.
Jesus, what's the market? Is the market opened up for the 2021 Rising Star yet?
So it was something like $1.03 to win it at the start of the weekend.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's about $1.03 to win it next year.
It is tough. But it's not like the Suns you expect. They were still good. They still gave it to Geelong on their home deck without Matt Rowe. Tested them at times. Didn't have an answer for Big Tom Hawkins a lot of the time.
Also, Selwood 300th, Gaz's 350th.
Yeah, they were kind of always going to get up.
Milestone games are hard to play against.
Did you see that goal Gary Ablett kicked from like 55? Will we give him 55? 51, 52. He set shot in the last quarter.
I didn't see it.
He lined up and they were calling on him. That was calling him to do the barrel in the commentary, and then he just ended up putting it through. But I didn't think he saw that in him.
Underrated length on Gaz.
Yeah.
Always has been underrated length. Like, he goes back and has shots from 52, 53 set shots on the regular and wasting time on the goal line.
I just thought, like, that was Gary Ablett of a couple of years ago. Like, there was no way he was going to have that distance, but he did comfortably.
I had to laugh tonight. I think it was Channel 10 News or whatever I was watching. They had an interview on the Gold Coast or with the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah.
And it was Braden Fiorini.
Is he in the team at the moment?
No, he's not even in the team. he was the player put up. I was like, come on. You're absolutely taking the mickey now. Unless they haven't updated his stats since last weekend. I was on AFL stats before to check. He played round one and round two.
Mate, are you going anything to do with the AFL website at the moment? You can't count on.
Yeah, no. It's also you've actually got to cure brain cancer to actually find what you need to find.
It's
a Sudoku into God knows what to find what you need to find. But I thought, come on, Gold Coast, you struggled for media for long enough not to put a player up who's not actually playing. Sort it out.
Well, I thought they put up. I think Gold Coast normally put up most people, so it might be a case of Channel 10 couldn't get an AFL journo into the state, so they just had to go with a local person.
The old the Brisbane Broncos.
14-year Broncos member.
Walks down and goes, hey, you're wearing a polo. Give us a chat.
Yeah, what do you reckon? How you guys going pretty well? Oh, yeah, we beat Fremantle Reserves on the weekend. It was pretty good.
Hey, mate, what about Collingwood?
Yeah, not the best week. Eddie's not going too great at the moment.
No, so that – did you hear Eddie this morning on Triple M?
Yeah, with a really weird – I'm not being a hypocrite confusing. Because of all this stuff that makes me a hypocrite.
Yeah, but it was like I did say 100,000, but we took 4 weeks. We took a harsh penalty. I'm like, Eddie, 4 weeks is not 100,000 in a season-ending suspension. It was interesting. But also when that stuff came out, they were saying, like, audio's been found of Eddie McGuire. I was like, he said it on Footy Club Spot.
Yeah.
One of the big footy shows. He wasn't pissed at a snooker bar having a cigarette in the corner and it was secretly recorded. He was literally sitting on a panel that he was hosting on Footy Classified.
We unearthed it on one of Channel 9's two footy shows. Twice a week. Could you make that call about Footy Classified on the days where it's on at like 10:45 at night and nobody sees it?
Yeah, then it's unearthed. Maybe it was unearthed. It was the first time it came to light. It was a crazy time. I love that Channel 9 kept their footy shows going.
Yeah. It was
through COVID. I think it was wonderful. But I've always struggled to wonder why the Footy Classified starts so late. Now, I go to bed early because of radio commitments. So maybe I'm like just the odd one out and everyone is still up at 10:30. But as soon as 9 o'clock hits for me, I call last drinks and go to bed.
I quite often get home quite late and so I'll watch one or two things and then I'm off. But, yeah, I'm not – I don't know.
What time would your head hit the pillow?
It's normally like 11:30.
Jeez. 11:30. Yeah, right. So I can't think – I get bored at 8 o'clock when The Voice and MasterChef – what's everyone else do at this time of night?
It's not by choice. Like, I'll finish – there's a lot of nights I'll finish at like 9, get home about 9:30. And then the missus is still up. You have a chat to the missus, you know, you have a bit of a midnight snack. And then she's watching something and then she'll go to bed and that's like my one midnight snack as in like a piece of toast, not that kind of midnight snack.
Come on, mate.
Mate, I'm not that. I don't have that much game. It's not just a quick chat to the missus and then a midnight snack. but then she'll go to bed, you know, like you seize your opportunity to watch something that you want to watch on telly. Like you get a small window, like I'm going to play a bit of NBA 2K or something. And then you just get a bit overexcited and then you realise it's 11:30, you should go to sleep.
I mean, I'm a shocker. So I Em and I watch Netflix or something. I get 20 minutes into something and then I'll roll over and with noise, I love sleeping with cricket or something. Just in the background, I have the radio on or something. So my old man listens to like SBS News all night and it's not even in English, some of it. But it's just the sound of having something on, rocks me to sleep. So Em will save a Netflix show that she's been wanting to watch for 3 months and go, right, hey, we're going to sit down and watch this tonight. I'll get 20 minutes in. I'm just going to do listenings for a little while. I just roll over. I'm done. I'm out like a light.
How do you get the nudge, or do you have to carry yourself to bed, or how does that work?
Oh, no. The big walrus just looks after himself. I'm not doing it. Wherever I end up is wherever I end up.
Sticking in Queensland, there was hype this week about Brisbane going into premiership favouritism in some quarters.
Yeah.
Beat Port Adelaide, obviously. But they haven't really left home. Like, this is a bit early. And, I'm a strong Brisbane man. That was what – so Saturday night, Mrs. had a dinner. So I was in charge of Bob and put her to bed and stuff, and then just had this free time. It was like a romantic night for myself. Basically, I cracked a bottle of wine, lit some candles, and sat down to watch Brisbane Port Adelaide.
Had a snack. Beautiful. Special.
And then the game turned out to be done after about a quarter and a bit.
I ended up watching the other game in the end. But they played one game round one at the MCG against the Hawks, I reckon, and got beaten pretty easily. But no, I think they're the real deal, mate. I think Lachie Neal's the Brownlow medalist by a long way at the moment.
Hugh McCluggage is the Australian wing.
Yeah, no, he's a certainty. That's a 1-2 blow. And Harris Andrews, a mate of mine, texts me saying, there's no sure thing. Check all the markets in the world if you want. Look at Dixon to go goalless tonight. Yeah. I don't know if he kicked a goal in the end. Did he get one in the end?
He didn't while he was on Andrews anyway. I saw some stuff.
Well, that's what the theory was. Harris Andrews, as much as he plays well all the time, he takes scalps when they're hot.
Gotcha.
It's like he just, I don't know, just watch for it. Whenever he plays against someone who's got a big forward or a hot forward.
Loves it.
For some reason, he just loves it. And then you'll see games where he runs around and spoils, takes a few marks, but you don't really notice Harris Andrews. It's almost like he needs to be bombarded with 60 inside 50s.
And then he just loves
it. Repel them all. He goes, Christ almighty. Would he be the best defender in the competition at the moment?
Yeah. Or probably. And I think it's by... Yeah, I think it is, but I think it's increasingly becoming by the length of the straight.
It's obvious.
There's Harris Andrews and then there's everyone else. So who was that?
I agree.
Gov was the lock for the last few years, all Australian, but Harris Andrews and the next – you've got to beat Harris Andrews for the next 5 years to take that spot, I think.
Yeah, and once you're in, it's hard to get out. Like Alex Rance was a brilliant defender, brilliant fullback, but also one of those ones where if you aren't – an absolute class above Alex Rance, you're not getting it. You know what I mean? If they go around the table and the jury goes guilty or not guilty, it's beyond probable doubt or whatever they say, it's going to go towards Rance every time.
Yeah, they sit down.
And I think Gov probably got that a little bit last year. I reckon Harris Andrews is going to muscle his way in this year and then he just ain't coming out.
Well, he was in last year.
But when they start piling them off.
So they're going to sit down at the All-Australian table, each have 400 midfielders, and then when it comes to defenders, it's going to be, was anyone better than Harris Andrews? And the answer will be no. They're up and down the line. They got winners on every line. One thing that we've been calling for all through last year, especially when he had a couple of down weeks, Cam Rayner is starting to get a lot more of a look in the middle, and we're starting to see some of the things that we wanted to see from him.
But I wouldn't say a couple of down weeks, mate.
He was down for half a season.
Really poor for 7 to 8 weeks there for a while. And, when I remember hearing a chat with Luke Hodge who said, oh, but his tackling and pressure was huge. And you look at him and go, he literally looks like he's run a marathon.
Quarter time.
And I think now he openly says that he probably didn't prepare himself for footy seasons to the level that you'd expect. And I think he's just a kid. Unless someone grabs him and says, this is how it's done and you'll do it my way. And it's hard for a kid to really find what level of professionalism. You think you've got the level, but then there's always a level above. And you look at Lachie Neal, I'm certain he'd have every box ticked.
Yep.
And I reckon Cam Rayner, the more time he spends with those sort of players, the more he'll work out that there are other things and there's more harder. You know, the body can always go.
You can always work harder.
Yeah.
There's a thing recruiters will say about certain players and say, you know, he thinks he's working hard. He just doesn't know it yet. Like, he doesn't know it yet. He's not working hard at all.
Oh, man, I'll cop that one day. I, in my second year, I was a reasonable runner. I didn't realize I was a reasonable runner until I got told I need to be a reasonable runner. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, gotcha.
Until they put the pressure on me saying, you get for harder. You're still another level. And then you finally find that level of running. And your Chance Bateman, who was a gun runner, I used to try and hang on to him as long as I could and eventually pip him in a 2K and that sort of stuff. Whereas unless you pair yourself up with someone of that level and experience, you're really just running. And when you're young, all the time they often say, especially in pre-season, you know, first and second year players are doing limited minutes. So you come over here and do your running sessions. So you're not really meeting those hardened veterans who know how hard you can go.
Yeah.
So I reckon Rayner needs that, you know, sell himself to, I don't know, Mitch Robinson or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was going to say Robinson.
You'd assume he'd be a hard worker, but like something like that. And I reckon hopefully we'll see the best out of him.
Yeah, it's also a bit of an indictment. Like we're talking about him last year, how bad he was for that whole stretch. Like that shows you, like, so like they need to do something about the kneeful because he would have stayed in that side because they would have thought if we drop him, he's going to have 40 and kick six. Like we just know that.
Yeah.
So there's no point doing that. He's not going to learn any lessons by going back.
I was talking to Mick Barlow last night and I asked him what his biggest game in the NEFL was.
Yeah, well.
He said he had 50 and three or four other players had 40.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it's like you've had a massive day out and you think 50 you've blown. But like, yeah, there was the rest of the midfield. Means nothing. Means absolutely nothing. It's a diabolical competition.
What are you?
They're also saying that you could play with 10 or 12, your team could swing 50 points each week. You'd be a 50-point dominant team or you could be neck and neck with the same team the week after on players coming in and out, availability, kids, all that sort of stuff. It's just – it's not the league you want professional footballers playing in.
Nah, have you got a preferred option about how they fix that long term? I mean, everything's going to be in question next year. The VFL's gone down to bugger all teams. Like, they're going to have to – I think they've been trying – or. It costs a lot of money, so they're probably not going to be able to do it now, but they've been thinking about, like, national reserves. It comes up every other year.
Yeah.
Like, is that the preferred option?
I think that's the only way. I think that's the only way to make it, – and it'll – so I'm deliberately here not thinking of the state league. So it'll obviously cripple the VFL. The Waffle would be okay.
Sandford
would be okay. But it would absolutely cripple the VFL. So I'm not thinking about them at the moment. But the reserves competition played as a curtain raiser to the AFL. The crowd would have interest. I don't know if I was seeing a curtain raiser of your reserves playing, be it a kid or a good player coming back from injury, I'd probably get there half an hour early and catch the last quarter.
Yeah, you want to see a bit of it.
Yeah, and enjoy it. So I think the national competition, one for quality and equality across the whole competition in terms of the level of skill, but yeah, there's no benefit sending kids to the NEFL. Because you can't get a measurement on how they're really going. Yes, it's expensive, but Virgin, who are virtually going under. So maybe it's not a good example, but I mean, you could wrestle a contra deal with flights and hotels. There's sponsors everywhere. And for it to fly an extra eight teams around, probably less considering there's more in Melbourne, I think that's probably the way to go.
You'd have to, it would have an effect on the Waffle and the Sandford thinking about it because they'd need top up players. They couldn't have the list, like, particularly when they're talking about bringing lists down. Argument for keeping list sizes as they are probably gets dulled a bit when Melbourne and Richmond, or Melbourne leaves half their squad in Melbourne, doesn't take them with them for a series of games.
I've always said though, any player, some of these players don't even get to play Waffle Seniors because they're not good enough.
Yeah,
but they're on the list. I've always said if you're on the list, you have to play. There's no hiding them in the twos or whatever. If you're getting paid to be a professional footballer, you're not playing forward pocket in the reserves.
Yeah.
And it also provides an opportunity for the actual Waffle teams, for example, West Perth or whatever, to equalise a little bit by playing the lesser ability players on an AFL list, like first-year players who weigh 70 kilos.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I've always thought that if you're on a list, you're playing seniors and work out around it. If you're not good enough, what advantage is the opposition?
Yeah, you're not on a list.
Yeah, you're playing against non-professionals. If you're a professional footballer, you shouldn't be playing against non-professionals or hiding from them.
Maybe stop them going and recruiting a few baseballers and everything else and trying to teach them how to play footy.
Talk about recruiting before you go, recruiting mature age. Kane Lambert's game on the weekend, I think, what was his 100th game? It could have been.
100th game, he had 27-3.
Yeah, kicked three, had like seven clearances. What an endorsement for just picking the best player out of state league football.
Yeah, and we see it across the thing, like Sam Collins at the Gold Coast was the best defender in the VFL, and he's a pretty good defender at AFL level.
Yeah, you can go Tim Kelly. There's just one that's earning a shitload of money.
Mick Barlow.
At the moment, it's just get the best player out of state league. They don't often fail.
Yeah, there's always knocks. You know, it happens with everybody. It happened with Jack Darling between his underage and his draft year. You watch someone for too long and you figure out everything that's wrong with them and forget why you liked them in the first place.
Yeah,
so some absolutely. Of these guys just been running around, the Jai Boltons of the world, running around the waffle for 4 years, winning two Sandover medals as the best player in the competition, and then saying, we can't do this, this, and this. It's like, yeah, well, you can do this, this, and this a lot better than 10 guys on your list.
Because we've introduced rules every 20 minutes in the AFL.
Yeah.
You almost should have to get a state league player.
You should have to pick one.
Every club.
So, like, you have a state league draft.
No, well, in our national draft or whatever, you just have an extra pick and you have to pick the way. If say, there's Tim Kelly in there that you want to get with pick 19, no dramas, and you can get a young kid at the back end of the draft with pick 80 or whatever. But I do think that there should be a state league player from every club each year.
Which is, sometimes it just makes sense to go and get them when there's instead of going. And that's because clubs won't have the list space to use for these prospects. We might see it come in more and more just naturally because they need footballers.
You need footballers. You don't need 10-year projects.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, get the ready-made player.
But then, I mean, you do. There are other cases. Kyle Horsley is one of the best players in the waffle and has been for a decade, and he spat out of the AFL pretty quickly.
I'd be going untried. Honestly, I'd be just having a crack at the untried waffle players and see what happens.
Yeah.
Or state league players.
Yeah, you
just one, and it could be pick 80, whatever it is, but just throw caution in the wind on one of those, the name escapes me, forward Subiaco kick six in the grand final.
Sokol?
Sokol.
Ben Sokol.
Ben, just pick 85, whatever it is. Put him on your list. You're paying minimum AFL wage.
Yeah.
And if he's no good, you move him on in a year. And at worst case, he's going to make your state league team better.
Yeah, yeah. There were a couple we thought they'd do, I think, in South Australia and over here when the club's got alignment. One, sometimes there are a few picks where you're like, that seems like an almost a handout to the state league club. And then maybe if it works, it works. But otherwise, that's how you know you've got too many spots on a list. The WA rolling hub will start after this round. Mm. I keep forgetting we've only got there's only two rounds fixtured.
Yeah.
And we don't know what the hell happens after that. But, yeah, so it starts after this weekend. So they're reviewing the arrangements which could open up 60,000 for the Derby, so that's under review, but you'll still get your 30. So it starts with Collingwood and Geelong roll through here, play each other, then play both teams, and they should be replaced by, I think, the Bulldogs and not St Kilda because they're playing Gold Dockers this week. Someone. Two other teams probably come and replace them, roll through.
I think ideally the plan would have been to send six teams over here. Six teams, including the WA teams at the time being over here. And I reckon that they would have loved to have had a bigger hub in WA. I just reckon we made it too difficult in the end. I reckon that regardless of our crowd sizes, I reckon we're 10-1. We're nowhere near favourites to hold the AFL Grand Final, in my opinion. I reckon McGowan's done a good job in terms of keeping the numbers down, but I reckon he's turned into a bit of a dick swinging contest with the AFL. A few barbs that he's shooting across and turning into a bit of a state of origin sort of setup. I don't think that's going down too well. And all of a sudden, we don't have the teams coming from the East Coast. They're actually going to Noosa. They've gone everywhere.
Why are you going to Noosa? It's 2.5 hours from Metricon Stadium. You got to catch a bus for 2.5 hours to get to the game.
Well, what's the alternative if they're in Melbourne playing up there? They're leaving at 6 a.m., getting on the bus to the airport, flying into the Metricon.
Yeah, true. I just thought there would have been like a hotel or somewhere, like some kind of resort. There's plenty of resorts on the coast.
No, get out of that dump, mate. I know you love it, but
get over the border.
Noosa, what a dream.
Noosa,
I'd happily sit on a bus and watch an episode of a TV show or something on the way down and get out and play, because alternatively as we were saying, like if you were playing away, if you were in Melbourne and playing on the Gold Coast, you had to do that trip in one day anyway. So
yeah, true.
Sitting on the bus for
but
2 hours.
But then you got to do it every week. Well,
yeah, that's okay.
It's still a long way.
That's okay.
Funnily mate, enough, there'll be – I like all areas of Queensland.
Yeah, okay. Well, you sounds like you hate Noosa.
No, I don't mind Noosa. It's been a little bit of my childhood's up in Markula, Maroochydore, that kind of area.
Is Mooloola Bar there somewhere?
Mooloola Bar's there, yeah.
We used to do that's where Hawthorne used to do their camps. Oh, beautiful.
How were those camps?
You knew-
Did you have to fling insults at each other and get tied to a tree and have to find a knife to cut yourself loose?
Yeah, and then I was handed the private details of every player and I just hurled at them. So it was pretty similar to the Adelaide situation. We did the brutal stuff at Hawthorn early days, like the Kokodas and that sort of stuff.
That's
this
just
was
mainly
more,
like the physically brutal build mental toughness thing, isn't it?
Not yeah, like, they turned Mooloola Bar into like a high skill level, high running ability camp. It wasn't mind games. It wasn't mental toughness. It was we're here, we're going to train as crisp as you've ever seen and we're going to run hard, but it wasn't anything ridiculous.
Do you reckon those are like when they're proposing where to go to the board to free up the funds? We don't want to do this hardcore pre-season camp, get us ready. Where do you want to go? Mooloola Bar?
Yeah, we're doing Mooloola Bar and we can bring a couple of sponsors if they want to come. Like, it's all about how many sponsors you get on board to come sit at the dinner table with Buddy Franklin and they pay big dollars.
The Buddy table. What was the seats going on for on your table, mate?
No, I was never allowed to eat with those. Me and the rookies are out the back at the ice cream parlor in Nando's.
That does sound like a good dinner. Nando's and ice cream.
It does. Oh. It does. It does. And having, real crispy.
How bad are, like, I know, so yeah, some people love it and they don't get to do it often. And going to attend a football function, you know, is a treat for them. But geez, if you've been to one, you've been to every single one and they suck.
Yeah, I know. But so back to the WA stuff. Do you agree that I reckon the WA government thought that the AFL were on their knees to them
a little
in
bit.
Terms of.
Yeah, I reckon they. But I still think they'll cycle through in these two. I don't think they care, to be honest with you. Like, I think it's all a bit of grandstanding. Like, if they didn't have a hub here, they wouldn't mind either way. Like, it's not like the public's going hard at them to get West Coast and Fremantle home, because we've seen in all these surveys that the public doesn't care. Like, which has been
wait until footy's back, mate.
Back
and
here,
you're allowed to go.
Oh, it's gonna be be unreal. It's gonna be. I can't wait.
But is there a chance that the WA clubs will be thrown in a hub back on the East Coast at some stage at the end?
Mate, I don't think there's a chance for everything.
They have to be.
Literally so nothing's on the table.
Yeah, I reckon they're more certain that they'll end up back there.
You reckon?
Because
they can't stay
to the end of the season.
No, they won't stay. Yeah, they won't stay to the end of the season. I think they're probably hoping that some borders open enough that you can fly.
Well, yeah, it's going to be
good
interesting.
Good luck with that, yeah.
I see them in Sydney at some stage, personally.
For like, yeah, even leading into finals, like they play all the finals at a couple of these venues. What are the venues? SMG, Stadium Australia, or have they knocked that down? They keep saying they're going to knock that down or something.
Not sure. It's not great because when we played in Sydney, if you're at the SCG, stayed at the Intercontinental, which had the view straight over the Sydney Harbour. You had a TV in your toilet, in your bath. It was unbelievable. Incredible setup in Intercontinental Sydney.
And where do they set you up for Blacktown?
At Parramatta.
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed out after like sundown. It was like, nah, boys, go get your supplies while the sun's up because you're not allowed out.
Jeez, yeah, it's pretty grim. That's probably about us. We got anything
that's
else? I think that's probably about us, mate.
What's annoyed you?
What's annoyed me? Annoyed me that there aren't more close games. Like the Thursday, Friday games in particular. So I'll work and we'll get rid of the first edition of the newspaper and there'll be like a quarter and a half to go of the Friday or Thursday game. And I think it's only one night where it's reached that point of the game and I've said, I'll just sit down and watch the last quarter. Because otherwise it's been, 20, 30 points and they're never going to peg that back.
When you say first edition, what's the first edition v second edition?
First edition goes to like the country areas.
All right, so they don't have the footy scores or anything.
They wouldn't have not the Thursday, not the late games. They'd have to wait for the next day.
So how much, as a percentage, how much of the first edition is changed in the second edition?
Oh, not much, usually.
Not much, okay.
It's only if there's late-breaking news you change it. It just gives you a chance to read everything and notice all the fuck-ups you've made for the first one. Right. Sorry to our country readers, so you've got to get them on the truck, you know?
Oh, mate, I'm a country boy. I wouldn't have noticed them anyway.
Yeah. So we clear that one, and then a couple of hours later we normally clear the second edition, which goes to, like, the metro area.
Beautiful.
It's all a bit involved, mate. But, yeah, that's been my main gripe, is the fact that there haven't been more games where it reaches three-quarter time and it's still a contest.
I just hate the 16 minutes so much still, because if it is a little bit of a blowout, like a 3 or 4 goal, you're like, it's done.
Yeah, we're seeing now.
When there's 30 minutes to get to in a quarter, you're like, they just pinch to here.
It's still alive.
Then they've got the next quarter. But they're not pinning 4 or 5 in the last. It's just not happening.
I think Ryan Buckland, who writes for us, does the Economist column. I think I'm bastardising your thing a little bit here, but it's basically if you get 20 points up in a game, you win. Like at any stage, if you get 20 points up, you win. Doesn't matter when it happens in the match. I think it's only been proved wrong once or twice this season, and that's what the shorter quarters does. So, I've done a full 180 on those, mate, and I'm get rid of them, go back to normal game time.
Oh, I hate them. I hate them so much. It just really – you know when you're sitting in and you're enjoying your Saturday arvo or whatever or Friday night – and you look up and there's 2 minutes to go to halftime. Like, oh, man, I've got to go back to the kid.
What has annoyed you?
Nah, that's it. That's the only one frustration. Just I'm really glad the footy's going. I think they're doing a great job by being flexible and the players have bought in. And I don't think they've actually – do you know what's annoyed me? Here you go. I don't think the players, as I said, are getting anywhere near enough credit. That's probably my number one annoyance, is that they're not whinging. They're literally just turning up. They're keeping food on the table for thousands and thousands of people who rely on the funds coming in through the broadcasters and whatnot. And I think we look at them and think they're not getting paid anywhere near their salary.
Yeah, that's what some people forget as well.
We think they're these entitled flogs where they're actually doing a good job for entertainment purposes as well, but also for those people who work in the industry. Like, I tip my hat to them. I don't think I get enough credit.
Agreed on that one, mate. All right, well, thank you all for listening in. We'll be back later in the week with the 2-minute warning. And I think, Rhino's got about another week on the coast, and then he'll be in ISO too, unless they change some kind of rules around that.
He's cooked.
He'll join us from there. The hub lord will be back, and we'll knock off 10 minutes on each team. All right, it's been the Hardball Gets AFL show. We'll see you next time.